Okay, people, we're back on the job. Chris Will.
I couldn't afford anymore.
You have the floor.
Kia ora. I'd just like to ask, do you have a submission from me?
We do.
Because it didn't show in the recipe for today, and I was wondering, that was all. That's fine.
I have not only have a submission, but I have read it.
I farm at Morven Ferry. My farm is called Arrowcliff Farm. I'll talk about how this hearing affects my property. When I say my property or my land, I have legal title to the land. But like Maori, I'm only looking after it. I can't take it with me. But first I must talk about history, particularly Maori oral history. Oral history cannot be trusted, basically because of human nature. I will give a few examples to prove my point. My land is Waitaha land. Kaitahu claim it by, quote, assimilating Waitaha and Katimamoi. In actual fact, Kaitahu ate them. Both Kaumatua Ellison and Higgins, and indeed all the expert witnesses from Kaitahu, refer to Mr. Herries Beattie as their main source of reference. H.R. Beattie was in the 1830s a passionate historian of Maori. He and other European people stated that when Europeans first settled in the South Island, there are an estimated 3,500 Maori in the whole of the South Island, Te Waipounamu. There's about 30-odd thousand in Queenstown today, people. Maori was spread very thinly. There were very few people living in this region, and indeed most of them were fugitives, hiding for their lives. As Mr. Higgins states, places to recuperate after a fierce battle. Waitaha oral history has them as being direct from Taiwan or southern China, and being Moriori, and a peaceful people that came here. I've got thousands of years, but that's a bit of an exaggeration. It was probably about 1,500 years before Maori. Mr. Huggins called them moa hunters. It is a fact that most Maori lived by the coast. Two main reasons: more food, and for the last 200 years or so, interaction with Pākehā, whalers and sealers, with whom they interbred, and also, by the way, got potatoes, other European vegetables, and steel. Steel made stone tools totally redundant overnight. That is why Maori, and quote, lost the location of the greenstone for 3 to 5 generations. Basically, it was useless to them. It was heavy stuff to cart around and rub for weeks and weeks to get inefficient adz. There were never any towns or even villages of Māori here. They were purely families, as I say, hiding, with a few people passing through to get stone for tools. When the kamatua refer to battles or attacks where some people were killed and some taken prisoner, what they really mean, and it is part of their oral history that they have conveniently left out, is that they ate the killed and the prisoners were in fact meat on the hoof that were eaten later. Yes, some interbreeding did take place at those times, but the pertinent point is that kaitahu are manipulating verbal history when you read mortally wounded in a domestic incident. Perhaps you should consider what really happened. It is there in oral history, but certain parts have been left out in kaitahu submissions. Kaitahu themselves were fugitives from the North Island, had to get out. I will now refer to the spiritual and sacred places of kaitahu. In New Zealand, we have complete freedom of religion. In fact, it is illegal to force your religion or beliefs upon anyone else. When I look out, I was going to say that window, but there's none there. But over there somewhere is Lake Wakatipu and those fantastic mountains. I have a pretty good idea how they got there. I know that the lake was not made by a Maori gentleman with a ko, a wooden stick. The girls from in across the lake, guided by the stars of two mountains, very likely happened, but since then numerous people have swum across there. Indeed, at least two people have swum from Glenorchy to Kingston. I can't remember their names, and I will not worship them either. The two most sacred rivers, Shotover and Dart. We have heard how the Dart must be the most sacred, was forgotten for 3, 4, or 5 generations, that's quote, because they did not need the stone anymore. It is interesting that Kaitahu own both the Shotover and Dart River jet boats, also funyaks, rafting, and other tourist operations on these rivers. Driving buses onto the gravel bars in the rivers, disturbing the peace and tranquility and the spirituality, and also polluting not only the rivers and air, but the sacred area itself. They are harvesting the greenstone once more for tourist trinkets. Are they just trying to keep other operators out of Te Koroka? It is already, quote, protected from the general public. I think it is good that Maori have rediscovered their connection to this area. But for a very long time, they not only did not need it, but did not know it was there. Queen Victoria did not only stop Maori from eating each other, she gave us the Queen's Chain. New Zealand is one of the very few countries in the world that has this wonderful thing. A reserve, now 20 metres wide, on most navigable over 3 metre waterways, lakes and coastline. There are very few places where there are riparian rights. Everyone, regardless of race, has free access to this reserve. Why have an overlay up rivers? It's not needed. We have heard how Maori followed up rivers from the coast in search of food. Now I want you to imagine a typical Maori family. Mum, dad, kids, baby, kuri, that's hunting dogs, also used for eating. Backpacks called pikau, made from flax, with rocks in them. Stone adzes that they had to carry everywhere. Tools. These people did not wear shoes and socks, mainly they were barefoot, with the occasional use of sandals that lasted a few hours before wearing out. They were not in a hurry. They took the easy route. Say they came up the Kawarau River. It is known that they used both banks. If they were on the left side going upstream, they would come to about Chard Farm after climbing over the hill to the south of the Bungee Bridge. From there, it is an easy route up that side of the river to the outlet of Wakatipu. There was no way they were going to swim across the mighty Kawarau and climb the 40-metre cliffs of my property, Arrowcliff Farm. Don't forget the dogs and the long spear and the kids and that. If they came up the right bank going upstream, about opposite Gibson Valley Winery, they would have done the easy traverse up onto the Crown Terrace and thence onward over the rolling downs. The alternative was to clamber around the bluffs of the Judge and Jury, climb down into the Arrow Gorge, and then proceed with kids, dogs, long bird spears, sacks with rocks in, and mum and baby to climb the 40-metre cliffs that gave Arrowcliff Farm its name. On that side, it's like a slice of pie between the two rivers. Come on, chaps. Keep your lines off my land. It was never your road. Miss Sarah Pickard stated that all landowners were notified in 2019. Not me. I heard by word of mouth from another affected person and had a late submission allowed when I contacted council. It would seem that Miss Pickard is blindly accepting Kaitahu claims and that this whole thing has been poorly handled. She states there is no clear mapping of Waihitapuna areas. There must be clear mapping. Nothing less will do. Nothing. Certainly not some overlay applied to a computer screen in a flash office in Dunedin by somebody who has never been off the tar seal. By putting those lines over people's properties, you will make criminals of some. If you allow those lines, you may as well draw them right round Te Waipounamu. That. You might as well do that if you allow those lines on my land. Being a farmer, I have a real problem with the constraints, all of them, such as earth moving. It is what we do. We move earth. My property also, by the way, is about 400 metres. That's 400 metres is just barely above the level, high level of Lake Wakatipu. Run holders did not ban mana whenua, as quoted. They did not need to go there for three or four generations. It is not fair for Kai Tahu Kamatoa to say that. I'd love reading Edward Ellison. Our traditions do not take to being constrained very well. How very British, Edward. You could be a POM. Commissioner, when you visit Arrowcliff Farm, I suggest you approach from the east. Take off your shoes and socks. You should really just wear your grundies. And when you have swum the rivers and scaled the cliffs, call by the house, and I will give you a cup of tea and a wee dram. Aki aki kia kaha. I'm at the right at the confluence. That slice of pie, just to the top northwest corner of the patch thing there, between the two rivers, The end of the farm is covered by that overlay patch thing.
And the question was, do you join the Barn Hill Farm? The Barn Hill Farm, the Buns?
Yes. Well, not immediately. There's a property between us.
So there's one property between you?
Yeah.
Because we've been on the Barn Hill property. I think I'll nominate Commissioner Hill to do the swim.
Well, they're trying to subdivide all of that too, so.
Yes, indeed. And you said your land is approximately 400 MASL?
Yes.
So, plus
one? Yes. We have some hill on the southern side.
Is it, because it seems to it rises up with the farm.
It's mostly flat, and there's some hill between the flat and the Kawarau River to the south. We have an olive grove up on there, which is rotary hoed regularly for producing olives. Earth moving.
Just one, so I'm again orientating myself. Am I right on this? This is a map attached to your submission. Am I right that slivers of the Wahitupuna come around?
The Kawarau is the one on the bottom.
The Kawarau there,
and the one is the arrow.
And slivers of the map, Wahitupuna areas come up over the cliffs and onto.
Well, there's
the flat.
Two lines approximately to scale. If you had it to scale on the picture that I was sent, there's two lines about as wide as this room over my land. You know.
Yes.
It wasn't well done at all. And it's disturbing, the laxity of it and the amateurism of it, and it shouldn't be there.
Because where the rivers are each side of your land, they're quite incised, aren't they? I mean, from what I can see here.
The Kawarau is
banks.
Oh, this, yes, it's called Arrowcliff Farm, and
yes.
they're 30, 40 metre, might be some higher. And they did not come up that way. If you have a look, they went either up to the north on those lovely terraces you can see, or along on this land on the south. There's no way, and don't forget, they weren't all Sir Edmund Hillary's, they were families. They were only families here, there were no towns or villages. They were all nuclear families in this area, very sparsely spread. There were very, very few people ever here. And they followed their dogs, which were hunting all the time. They ate everything that was animal protein, crickets, insects, worms, everything. They were Stone Age people, wandering. I'm sorry, I missed that.
I was just joking, saying they could have crossed over the Edgar Bridge.
Were you feeling hungry? Sorry.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your information.
Okay.
Thank you for taking your time.
Yes.
To come talk to us.
They need to go back to the drawing board.
Mr. Willoughby is the last of the day, so we'll adjourn the hearing until 9 a.m. tomorrow.